first lesson is taken from Isaiah, and it's chapter 9 and verses 2 to 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice over you, as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For, as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from John chapter 1, verses 35 to 42. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he said, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 PM. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which, when translated, is Peter. This is the word of God.
Brilliant. Thank you, Sue and Graham. So what have Abel, the first Sunday of Advent, and St. Andrew got in common? Well, we're going to link it together as best we can. And as I said, it is the first Sunday of Advent. And a few weeks ago, I tasked Monique, the curate here at Westworld, to devise a sermon series for us to follow through Advent. So I've asked her to introduce that series and what it is we're going to be looking at as who Jesus is. And then I'll try and link that again to St. Andrew and the bell.
Thank you, Carl. Well, I think I got the easier job there. And as humans, I was thinking about it, we love predictions. We often want to check the weather forecast so we can anticipate what the day ahead brings. You might find yourself watching a film and trying to work out how you think it's going to end, or anticipating the plot twist you might have already guessed is probably coming, particularly in your favourite Christmas films. Or we might find ourselves trying to finish the sentences of our family members or those we love. And we're often looking ahead to the next thing. We're trying to get to grips with what's coming so that we feel secure and so that we feel ready for what's happening. And the Bible is full of sort of predictions that Christians call prophecies. But these predictions are quite different because they are predictions that are spoken by God. And this is the God who we believe is eternal. So he is outside of time and space and he knows all things. And so only he can speak into what the future holds with true certainty. And during Advent, we mark a time of waiting for the arrival of the baby Jesus. the Messiah, meaning the one sent by God. And during this time, we often take the opportunity to look at some of these prophecies in the Old Testament. And some of these prophecies are many thousands of years old, and yet speak so clearly of the Jesus who would follow. One such prophecy is Isaiah 9, the one that Sue just read so beautifully for us. And it's a prophecy that says it's given to a people who are walking in darkness. It's a people who've been at war, from some of the language that's used in the passage. And it was written 700 years before Jesus. But it talks about a baby who is to come, to be born on the earth. And it's a child who's going to be given great leadership. It's a child who will become a king. And it's talking about this Messiah Jesus, this one sent from God. And so in our Sunday services, we're going to be working through some of the names given to this baby in Isaiah 9. We're going to look more closely at some of these names, like the Wonderful Counselor, meaning Jesus is the guide of our lives. He's the bearer of all wisdom. He knows why you're made, why we're here, why the world is the way it is. It says that he is Mighty God. He's both divine and human. So he has all the strength, power, and justness of God himself. It describes him as Everlasting Father, which is a funny one because he's both son and a father. He's true God. He was there at the creation of the world, and yet he chooses to relate to humans as our father. He invites us to be his children, to be loved unconditionally by him. And the last title used for him is Prince of Peace. He has the final word in a world of pain and conflict. Jesus speaks peace, a peace that is unshakable, that surpasses all earthly circumstances, and a peace that is complete. And St. Andrew, who we commemorate today, is well known for saying, come and see this Messiah that has come. And this invitation to come and see that Messiah is for us this Advent too, to come and see what kind of king Jesus is and learn what a joy it is to be his follower and his friend. So each week we'll be looking at one of those names in our Sunday services. Now handed to Carl.
And as Monique said, the story of Andrew is one in which the phrase come and see appears. And I love the story of Andrew. Andrew was thought to have been a disciple already of John the Baptist. And it wasn't unusual for people who are following a rabbi to change from one rabbi to another as they kind of graduated further up the ranks, as it were. As they had more understanding, they would move from one rabbi to another. And so it wasn't unusual for John to say, look, here comes another rabbi. But obviously he's pointing to something significantly different about Jesus. Jesus is no ordinary rabbi. He is the promised Messiah. He is the one that Andrew would have heard about in that passage from Isaiah, which he would have memorized as a good Jewish boy. He'd know all of that off by heart. And so when he hears these proclamations of Jesus coming over and the way in which he was arriving and the whole thing of John the Baptist, all of that would have spoken to the prophecies that Andrew knew. So there wasn't really a doubt in his mind that when he saw Jesus, this was the Messiah. And the question he asks him is quite a curious one. Where are you staying? Where are you staying? And Jesus says, come with me and you will see. And so Andrew follows, or the other disciples follow, to see where Jesus is staying. Now that is a call of trust. That is a call of trusting that where they were going was going to be God's plan for their lives. They wanted to see what this Messiah was doing, where he was going, what he was going to be saying, and they wanted to be a part of it. There was something about this particular rabbi that was different, something that was awe-inspiring and potentially life-changing. And Andrew saw that. And when he saw that and he recognized Jesus as the prophecy-fulfilling king that he is, even though he didn't know what that was going to look like or exactly what that would lead to, he wanted his brother to be part of it. And so he ran to find Simon to say, Simon, I've seen the Messiah, the one we've been waiting for. Come and see him for yourself. And Simon does go, and Jesus radically just gives him a new name there and then, but there's more of a story to that. And we know that Simon is actually the one who becomes Peter, on whom Jesus said he will build his church. And so this significant encounter with Andrew, and that's why Andrew is often known as the patron saint of hospitality. because he made his brother part of what God was doing. Throughout Christian history, bells have been used to call people to worship, to call people to pray, to call people to connection, essentially to call people to come and see. And when they are used in their proper context of a church that is thriving, they should also provide the answer, Jesus, where are you staying? Because now, having risen from the dead, Jesus is residing in his church, in his people, in how they love one another, in how they encourage one another, in how they support one another, in how they care for the poor and the needy, in how they build community in the places where they're called to be. That's where we should find Jesus residing. So when we hear a bell calling us to worship, it should be a call to come and see. For those who don't know him, it's a call to come and see him for the first time. For those who do know him, it's a call to come and get to know him better and to draw closer. But every time we hear a bell ring in a church, hopefully it's an invitation to come and see where Jesus is residing, because he lives in and through his church, his people, by his Spirit, that wonderful gift that we have. And we have the opportunity, when we are given that invitation, as Simon was, as Andrew was, to give our yes and amen to him. I did that at the age of 16, and it's the one thing in my life I had never regretted. Doesn't mean life has been perfect, doesn't mean life has always been easy, but it's the one decision in my life I have never rejected, to give my yes and amen to his call to come and see. The blessing of the bell that we're going to be doing shortly invites us not only to rededicate the bell, but also to rededicate ourselves to God's service. May we respond to his call to come and see what kind of king this is, not only this Advent, but every day. Amen.